Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Namo Buddhasya Pranavam Patanti. tu jivam parameva lakshyam. Aksham dasha pranam adharma dharmo.
Aksham dasha pranam adharma dharmo.
Tre primana radinam ca jivam.
Tre primana radinam ca jivam.
Anuhitasya pranavam patanti.
Anuhitasya pranavam patanti.
Param tu jivam parame balakshyam.
Param tu jivam parame balakshyam.
Hare Krishna, please, someone else.
Aksham dasha pranama dharma dharma.
Aksham dasha pranama dharma dharma.
Chakre vimanam ratinam ca jivam.
Chakre vimanam ratinam ca jivam.
Dhano hitasya pranavam pratanti.
Dhano hitasya pranavam pratanti.
Param tu jiva parameva lakshyam.
Param tu jiva parameva lakshyam.
Because of shortage of time, please allow me to immediately go to the Sanskrit translation. Aksham,
Aksham,
the spokes on the chariot wheels.
The spokes on the chariot wheels.
Dasha,
dasha,
ten.
Ten.
Ranam, the ten kinds of air flowing within the body.
The ten kinds of air flowing within the body.
Adharma,
Adharma,
irreligion.
Dharmo,
religion.
Religion.
Chakre.
Chakre.
In the wheel.
In the wheel.
Abhimanam.
Abhimanam.
False identification.
False identification.
Ratinam.
Ratinam.
The charioteer or master of the body.
Charioteer or master of the body.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Divam.
Divam.
The living entity.
The living entity.
Dhanuru.
Oh,
indeed,
indeed,
tasya,
tasya,
his,
pranavam,
the Vedic mantra, Omkara,
the Vedic mantra, Omkara,
patanti,
patanti,
it is said,
sharam, sharam,
an arrow,
to,
bhajya. Jivam,
Jivam,
the living entity,
the living entity.
Param,
Param,
the supreme Lord,
the supreme Lord.
Eva,
Eva,
indeed,
indeed.
Lakshyam,
Lakshyam,
the target,
the target.
Translation. It's a little difficult text, so please give your good attention. The ten kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. And the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. To make it a little bit more simple, the material body is like a chariot in which we, the living entity, are driving around in this material world, and which also acts as a prison for the soul. Now comes the essential point which I want to talk about in this lecture. The Vedic mantra pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the supreme being. Perfect. Ten kinds of life air always flow within the material body. They are called prana, apana, samana, jnana, udana, naga, kurma, krikola, devadatta, and dhananjaya. They are compared here to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. The life air is the energy for all of a living being's activities, which are sometimes religious and sometimes irreligious. Thus, religion and irreligion are said to be the upper and lower portions of the chariot's wheels. When the living entity decides to go back home, back to Godhead, his target is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. Nati vidhu svata gatim hi vishnu durashaya ye bhagya. The living entity tries to be happy within this material world, not understanding the target of his life. When he is purified, however, like those who go to Radhadish Mellows. No, this is a new point here, it's not in the text. When he is purified, however, he gives up his bodily conception of life and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. Then he takes the arrow of his purified life and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of Pranava or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when you want to go back to Godhead, what do? He takes the arrow of his purified life. This means you understand, I'm really not a German or an American or a man or a woman. Purify your life, see who you are. Then he takes the arrow of his purified life and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of Pranava, all the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the words bow and arrow are used in this verse, one might argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his chivalrous pleasure. For example, the Lord fought with Bhishma, and then Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. This was a kind of humor or relationship, of which there are 12. When the condition soars, when the conditioned soul tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow at him, the Lord takes pleasure and the living entity gains the profit of going back home, back to Godhead. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as a result of piercing the Adharamina, or the fish within the chakra, achieved the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if when the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home exalted. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jinnabhine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Sri Krishna. dear devotees, I was requested to give something like a welcoming or tune-in lecture, and I want to say before I start that it is a cause of great jubilation to be in the association of many very serious devotees who are coming to now offer their energy for glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a verse in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam which glorifies this activity which we are doing here, and it says that those who come together for such festivals are belonging to the topmost intelligent persons. I would like to read to you the verse 24 from this 19th chapter of the 5th canto in English. This verse glorifies devotees who come for Sankirtan festivals. An intelligent person, let us bring a little orchestra here. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system, if the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities does not flow there. If there are not devotees engaged in service on the banks of such a river of piety, or if there are no festivals of Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord, especially since Sankirtan Yajna is recommended in this age. So there are three places there is no place, this is how to better explain it, in this world, even if it happens to be the highest planet with heavenly delights of Soma Rasa and constant musical performances. But if three things are not there, if there is not a discussion about the Supreme Lord Krishna, if there are no devotees, or if there is no Sankirtan here, these three activities, talking about Krishna, being with devotees, or doing the Sankirtan yajna, is the best place to stay in this world. It is very nice. And Chaitanya Bhagavat says, it would be better to stay cramped up in the womb of the mother. It means a baby who is not born, no? Than to go to any other places than places where there are no festivals for spreading Krishna consciousness. It's a very interesting and encouraging verse for what we do. In today's verse, there is a very, very interesting and highly inspiring, let me say, concept presented of how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with the utmost benefit. I personally find and found great encouragement in this analogy which this text is offering, and would like to introduce this to you. I think if we can understand this verse in a good way, we will make our own singing of the Kirtan of the Holy Name into something wonderful, which quickly purifies our heart and and gives us the result of Krishna consciousness in our heart. I have chosen this verse because I happen to survive a crisis in my Krishna consciousness a few 20 years ago. There was a little crisis. My crisis was, I could see that I was not getting very purified in Krishna consciousness, and I saw a lack of success stories in our movement, and therefore, because I had joined with a desire to uplift my life, I thought maybe it's not the right movement, because it doesn't work for me at least. Then I found this verse in the Bhagavatam and tried to pay attention to what it says, and I can't say I'm a good devotee, but I know this really works magic, what is described here. I'm very enthusiastic to share this own discovery with all of you and give you a tool in your hand which will make your kirtan something else. I would like to focus on this second part of the verse. Tanu hitasya paramam patanti sharam tu jivam param eva laksham. The Vedic mantra, pranavaj, the bow, the pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the supreme being. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in this world of dull matter, there are only two entities which are full of life. It's the jiva, the living entity, and the nama, the holy name of Krishna. Now, the jiva on his own cannot go to Krishna because it's captured in the material world. It is lost. That has lost his spiritual consciousness. But just like it is possible to bring an arrow with the help of a bow very, very far, there are bows which can shoot an arrow of up to Washington, D.C. from here. Just like it is possible to bring an arrow with the help of a bow very far, it is possible to take the bow-like mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, and then bring the living entity very far, that is back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada talks about this method, which he says, one should give up his bodily conception of life, which is like a chain into this world, the false identity that I belong to a certain community, a certain nation, or a certain society. And then, when you have made this understanding, I'm a soul, I belong to Krishna, then he takes the arrow of his purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of Pranava, that's the Om, or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think this Radha Desh medal is serving all of you well. If you can be thrown toward into the arms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yesterday I saw how Ananta Govinda has a baby. I've not seen it very intently, but yesterday I saw a very dynamic, temperamental baby, and he threw that baby into the hands of his life. Not very far. Respect for throne. So it was embraced by the loving arms of the mother. Joyful, it was very joyful in this process. So if you are thrown into the arms of Krishna, that is the perfection of your life. That is really what shall be taken in account. Now this analogy, my dear devotees, of the mantra being an upaya, a means like a bow to bring the living entity to the target, that is Brahman, Krishna. This analogy is very, very much there in the Mukunda Upanishad. We have seen it in the Devi, some Devi Purana. I have seen this analogy. It is spread throughout the Vedic scriptures. It's a reoccurring theme. It's something important because it's repeated over and over again. Let us just see what is necessary in order to bring an arrow by a bow into its target. There are three things. First of all, one needs to take aim. That's very important. If there is an archer who is having a powerful bow and an arrow, and he does not first take aim, the arrow will go into the pizzeria, or it will go into the hair of someone, or it will create havoc. So in chanting, taking aim is very important. The second is, an effort must be made to pull the bowstring, bow back, so that some dynamic force is created. And then the third method is, you must let go of the arrow so that the bow can do its work and bring the arrow to the target. In the same way, when we chant, we start with taking aim. We know this chanting is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. It is not a reunion festival, let us reunite. It's not a dancing festival. It's not a party. The aim of this chanting, which must be first of all very clear in the mind of all devotees, is the Supreme Personality of God and His pleasure. I think when devotees chant, they often do not take aim. They do not, in other words, connect the practice of repeating the mantra in either song or that means kirtan, or in japa, to Krishna. And then what the devotees are left with is their musical skills, or in my case, their lack of musical skills. It is something which is material, or materially tinged. It becomes spiritual, the chanting, and Krishna conscious, as we say, if we consciously connect this with the pleasure of Krishna, if we turn to Krishna, it is said, one is immediately free from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I'm surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." This is how you start your kirtan. You take aim. "My dear Lord, I've
forgotten you so long in this material world, and therefore my life has become very complicated. But now I'm turning to you. Please accept me as your sincere and serious servant. Now, this is a very important idea, you know, it's really important. There was once a great devotee whose last days had come, so he requested his disciples to bring him to the bank of the sacred river Jamuna in Vrindavan and place him on the sand. That is normal. When a devotee in Vrindavan leaves his body, he requests those who are with him to take him out of the bed, out of the cushions, out of the polstering material, and lay him down on the into the dust of Braj. It is known that the Braj of the dust of Braj has this tremendous spiritual potency because it is touched by the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So this devotee was placed on the back, but he rolled over onto his belly, crutching the sand. Another great devotee at that time came with his associates and said, "You're lying in a very extraordinary position. Can you, if it is not disturbing you at this moment, please tell us why you lie like this?" The devotee was silent. The dying man was silent. So the other devotee, knowing that this devotee was very, very great and he had a reason, he tried from another direction. He said, he didn't say, "Why do you lie like this and give you die like this?" He asked, "What is your realization at this moment of your life about Krishna?" This devotee, so moving, he sang, he gave an answer, and he sang it as a poem, was a song, his last song, the song of the dying man. And he sang, I don't want to try to sing, I will say it in English. "My Lord is residing like a blue sapphire in each one's heart. And like a king who is aware of everything which happens in his kingdom, my Lord is aware of the desires and thoughts of every one of his servants. If his servant, for some reason or another, turns away from the Lord does not think this is a reason for him to turn away from his servant. My Lord thinks even the smallest amount of service is as big as the Mandara mountain. And an ocean of offenses, he thinks it's hardly as big as a drop of water." Then the devotee runs away from my Lord. My Lord runs after him. He may not be in front of the devotee, but he's on the side of the devotee and in the back of the devotee. And if the devotee corrects his vision and turns back to the Lord, then my Lord dances in ecstasy. Should I turn my back to my Lord at this moment? "No," the devotee said, with his chest on the dust of Vrindavan, "I must turn fully towards my Lord.
And with this, he had given the answer why he was lying in this unusual position for a dying man. This turning to Krishna, my dear devotees, is, or let us take it and say it in the analogy of this verse, taking aim when you chant is essential. If you don't take aim, you might go with your chanting somewhere else, and you might become a kirtan star or a rock star of the Hare Krishna movement, or some other thing, something else which is not proper. No, you must turn towards Krishna. You must go in the right direction. Otherwise, chances are there you go in the wrong direction. Take aim. Second thing, an effort must be done when chanting. Srila Prabhupada described the effort of a chanter where you really have to work a little. You have to chant and hear, he said. Chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. That's all. What is the question of the mind? Don't follow your mind. Yes, chant and hear. This means, by the way, Prabhupada said it at another time, he clarified a little what it means to hear when you chant. He said, just try to listen to yourself chant sincerely. You must, in other words, chant a little bit voluminous. Voluminous means with some sound, huh? You must do this, otherwise you can't hear yourself. You must hear yourself. You must be really... I think the point is clear. Turn up the volume. Chant and hear yourself. Very important. How should you? What sound you should make? A sincere sound. It takes again into account taking aim point. The first point that I am surrendering unto you. I have forgotten you, but now please accept me in your service. No? Just try to listen to yourself chant sincerely. Then you are then you are there. You are there. And the final thing is, like in all in archery, let go. Let go means surrender to Krishna. There is a very interesting question which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has asked. It's a question which is maybe shocking when you think that this is at all a question which can be asked by an acharya. The question is, whose prayers does Krishna hear? Now you should think, whose prayers does Krishna hear? I mean, he doesn't hear every prayer. This is some prayer he hears and another prayer he does not hear. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked this question, whose prayer does Krishna, the son of Nanda, hear? And he says, the prayer of one who submits unconditionally to the sixfold path of surrender. Sri Nanda Kumar hears the prayers of those persons. So when you chant, you have to give yourself, let go of yourself, and give yourself to Krishna. This morning, I share a bathroom with Agnidev. he's a neighbor. It's not that we only meet in the bathroom. But this morning we quickly did our, it's a spacious bathroom with different separated compartments. And he just passed into his compartment, and I went into another compartment, and then I expressed, I appreciated the kirtan yesterday. And he looked at me, he could see, I guess, that I was sincerely appreciating, not just word or by mouth, but by consciously appreciating. And he said very shyly, humbly, he said, I try to give everything when I do kirtan. I thought it was a wonderful instruction also for me for this kirtan day, and for you also. I think it is very good. Try to give yourself. Try to surrender to the process. Give everything means your youthful energy, but also your mind. You have a mind, and your voice. Give everything to the process. Surrender. Let go. Let go means this usually is we are slaves of Maya. We are hold back. We are holding back often. No? But no, don't hold back. Let go. Give yourself into this. And then it will be a wonderful experience in Krishna consciousness, but it will give Krishna pleasure. So these are simple goals, points. What is the first point, please?
Take aim.
Yes, it's for Krishna's pleasure. Then make an effort, right? What would be the effort? To chant it here. And then let go, surrender yourself to this process. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very interesting analogy, which Prabhupada says. Just recently I researched this in Mahabharata. You know the evil Duryodhana constantly disturbed by the five Pandavas, especially Bhima, who, when he came to wrestling, he always took all the Kauravas, sometimes 100 at once, and he banged their heads together like eggshells. It was very humiliating and extremely painful on the head. So he plotted against the five Pandavas. He tried to poison Bhima. It didn't work. Then he had a sinister plan, which could say, which trails through the closed doors of palace intrigue, like the black blood of a murdered person trying to get your attention. Try to learn English now. I have now Jai Krishna, he teaches me. His intrigue was to build a palace made of highly incinerable lead, invite all the five Pandavas in there, Vidha Mata Kunti, and then burn it in the night, and so on. And yes, when he was successful, he invited the Pandavas into the palace. In the night, there was an infernalic fire. This is an English word, like an inferno, like a hellfire. In the morning, they found six corpses, one of a woman and the other of five young men. Krishna. Everyone thought this is the end of the Pandavas.
Then, I think half a year later, King Draupad arranged for the Swayamvara of Draupadi. He made a contest which he devised it was an impossible task. There was a podest, and then about 20 meters in the air was a wheel with very narrow spokes, and above the wheel was a wooden fish which was put there. You can look at this beautiful chandelier which needs some cleaning in the second time. Imagine, this was a wheel of a chariot with narrow spokes, and above it a wooden fish. But this was 20 meters high. So anyone who wanted to apply for the hand of the Princess Draupadi had to shoot the eye of the fish, which was protected by a fastly turning wheel. But this would have been a simple task. The way to take aim was not directly. The archer had to look into a water basin with moving water, you know.
He had to take aim
like this and then shoot. Very difficult. Not an easy task. Who of you is an archer? Was an archer? Many foolish things. Yes. Impossible task. So the best of the best, the kings had come, because Draupadi also was very, very, a very special princess. She had appeared not from a womb, but from a fireborn. Means also a little temperamental. There was a huge stadium, and the best of kings had arrived. And then, brother of Draupadi? Drishtadyumna, thank you. He arrived. There were all the kings of Bharat were there, and he announced, "Now, kings of the world, make pay attention. The princess Draupadi has come." Then Draupadi came, and as she entered the arena, everyone could only look at her. She looked so dignified and so beautiful in her marriage sari and holding a garland for a future husband who would hit the target. So he said, the contest is on. So one by one the princes went to the podium, climbed on the podium, and then tried to string the bow. Now most of them could not even string the bow. One, it was a prince of the Kauravas, came. He tried to string the bow, he brought it back, but then it snapped and it just threw him from the podium, and everyone was going, "Hey." So then finally Duryodhana stood up. Karna came. Karna looked at the target. He looked at Surya, prayed to Surya, and as he looked, everything became silent, because everyone knew Karna could do it. At this moment, Lord Krishna, who was sitting also there next to Balaram, he was not contesting. He looked at Baladev and he tensed and he closed his eyes. He's in the heart of everyone, and Draupadi, who was trembling, she shouted, "I will not accept a sutra," means the son of a charioteer who's a sutra, as a husband. Kama clenched his fist and tears welled in his eyes, and totally humiliated, he went down. Then Duryodhana came, and again everyone breathed in a sharp sigh. Duryodhana missed the target and went like swearing off the plate. "Ah, impossible, impossible, no one can do it." Prishtaduna said, "So who else is there?" At that time, no one answered. "Who else is there?" Then a brahmana, striding with the gait of a young lion, came forward. His shoulders were built tremendously. He was dressed in white. He had locks, and he kept the locks, but in his head he kept it a little before his eyes. Krishna turned to Balaram and said, "That's him, my cousin." The brahmana said, "Is it all right if brahmanas compete?" "Yes, a brahmana can marry a kshatriya. That's possible," said the Brahmin council. So then the Brahmin climbed up the podest and everyone looked. The Chajiya sneered, "What will a Brahmana do? We're coming up." I mean, Kama was out. "When Duryodhana had fell, the prince of Kshatriya, what will he do? Not possible." Then the Brahmana did a full production at 3 times around the bowl, paid his obeisances. No kshatriya had made it because it was a weapon, a high weapon. He strung the weapon with one movement, took the arrow, shot, and the meena, what is it, the adhara meena, the dwarf fish, came clinging down, and the brahmanas went, "These foolish kshatriyas." Amen. The kshatriya said, "No." "No, this can't be." They ran towards Arjuna. Arjuna strung his bow. He shot a few arrows and they went back. Then they came again, a wave. Then they saw another brahmana who quickly ran into a forest, broke a huge tree, and came to the tree like the god of destruction, and just finished all the attacking kshatriyas. Now they thought, this gets serious. And they took their heavy astras. But then Drishtadyumna said, "This is a marriage, not a battleground." And everyone saw 5 brahmanas going out of the arena. Thank you. And with them, the beautiful princess Draupadi. And may I know the knowing Vaishnavas, who were these 5? It is so obvious that you don't want to say it. Yes, it is. 5 Pandavas. Hare Krishna. Krishna. So this is the analogy. A wonderful prize can be gotten when this target is reached. So in Kirtan also, a prize is waiting. I know that some men have come to find their spouse. This is heavy verse. And vice versa. This is not the goal of this. This is a wonderful reward for chanting this. Krishna consciousness, that's the highest gift which will come in our which will come to our heart. I'm sorry, we come from Germany, we are sort of uncivilized. No, please be serious. This wonderful thing is waiting for you, Krishna consciousness. So, but you need to know how to use this powerful tool. You need to come and use the Kirtan, the Radhadish Melos, properly. It's a powerful bow which can give you supreme results, but you must use it properly. Please take aim. Means direct your chanting towards Krishna, make an effort, give your best, and then surrender to the chanting, and some wonderful wonderful awaits for all of you. Thank you very much. I will not be able to take questions because we want to really start at 10 o'clock. Please do take your prasadam, and I have heard that 9:45 it is possible to enter the hall. I highly recommend that you are there, because then you will get a good place in front. I see you very soon. Srila Prabhupada ki Shishi Gaudi Thai ki Gaudi Premanandini.